Mark Tagubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm delighted that you've turned your radio dial to join us once again as we look into the Word of God. And we're considering and thinking about the question, why was Jesus born in a stable and laid in a manger? Of all places where the eternal God could have taken on human form and entered into this world, why in such a lowly, unsanitary place was the Lord Jesus Christ born? Well, we're considering the fact that the Old Testament reveals many wonderful truths that were hidden in Old Testament times, but the New Testament reveals and explains and opens up those Old Testament truths that were hard to understand and difficult to realize and know what they meant and why they had to do the things God told them to do. Remember, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed or hidden. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed and made known. And so that's why we're going back to some of the Old Testament things to consider why was Jesus born in a stable and laid in a manger. We've seen now already in our review the individual need, the family need, the national need, and now the world need of a Savior, someone to take man's sin upon themselves and to pay the penalty. For we've learned that all of us are guilty of having sinned. You and I well know that we're guilty of having done things that are wrong, things that we shouldn't do. Even if you didn't know the Word of God, you know in your own heart that we're guilty of having violated God's Word. God gave Israel a law, and this law was given to them in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. God gave them a law in Exodus chapter 20 of the Old Testament, the second book in the Old Testament for those of you who have a complete Bible. And there in the Old Testament we read the Ten Commandments that God gave to Israel. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And so God made it clear that it's wrong to make an image to bow down before and to pray to. That's a breaking of one of God's commandments. In verse 7 we read, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So we've seen three commandments. The first one, we're to worship the Lord God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and he is the only one that we are to worship. We're not to make any kind of a graven image, any kind of an image, or to bow down before anything other than the true and the living God. And we're not to take God's name in vain. We're not to use it in cursing. We're not to use it in a vile manner. We're not to claim to be a follower of His and bring disgrace and dishonor upon His name. And then number four, where the fourth commandment was, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, this was a commandment that God made with Israel, and it was specifically for the nation of Israel, because it was a sign between Israel and God that they were His chosen people, and they were not to do any work on that day, the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day of the week. That was to be their Sabbath day, and they were not to worship on that day. Today we worship upon the first day of the week, because it was on the first day of the week that we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we celebrate and worship together and honor the Lord on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And so we see these four commandments had to do with man's relationship with God. Now, the next six commandments have to do with man's relationship with man. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Children are to honor their parents, that is, they are to respect their parents. They're not to do anything that dishonors or brings shame or disgrace upon their parents. To do so is sin. And then he says in verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Now this had reference to murder. That's the meaning of the word here, kill. It has reference to murder. Because God told the children of Israel to go into the enemies and to kill the enemies of Israel and to destroy the enemies of Israel. And so this commandment did not have to do with killing in war. It had reference to murdering someone that you hated, someone that you disliked, and putting to death someone in that was not fighting against you or trying to destroy you or do you hurt or harm. And then in verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. This has to do with sexual sins. It has to do with all kinds of sexual sins. This commandment covered all kinds of sins that had to do with sin against a man sinning against a woman in any form, in any way, or even with committing incest, committing sexual sins within the family. All of this is covered under this commandment. And then in verse 15, thou shalt not steal. There he tells us that it's wrong to take anything that belongs to someone else. It's wrong for us to steal that which belongs to someone else. And this has to do with cheating. Cheating someone is stealing from them. It's taking from them by dishonest means that which belongs to them. That's stealing, beloved. It's being a thief, and it's stealing what belongs to someone else. And then in verse 16, he said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This has to do with lying and deceiving someone, telling them that something is true when it is not, being deceitful, being a liar. Saying things that are not true for our own benefit, for our own protection. Trying to cover up something that we've done wrong by lying about it. This is violating the law of God, and it is sin. And finally, in verse 17 of Exodus 20, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Coveting has to do with desiring to have what belongs to someone else, and desiring to have what is theirs. That is coveting, and it is sin, and it is wrong for us to want what someone else has and desire to have that which belongs to them. Because coveting will lead to these other sins. It will lead to lying. It will lead to deception. It will lead to lust. It will lead to adultery. Coveting a man's wife leads to adultery. Coveting what belongs to man will lead to trying to steal it from the man, to take it from the man. And so we see all of these six laws that God gave to open man's eyes to what is truth and what is righteous and what is wrong. And thus we realize that all of us are guilty. As Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 states, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10 tells us, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, one of the Old Testament prophets, in Isaiah 53 and verse 6 tells us, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The one that was referred to in verses 2 through verse 6 and 7 had to do with one who would come to die for man's sin. One who would be crucified, and one who would die a terrible death, one that would be innocent, one that would be without sin, who would die in the place of the sinner. That's what was being referred to. And so the writer Isaiah was showing how that all of us are guilty. For we're like sheep that go astray. Sheep follow the leader. There was a riddle when we were boys. There were 13 sheep in a pasture. One jumped the fence. How many were left? The answer, none. Because sheep follow the leader. And so all we, like sheep, have gone astray from Almighty God. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, this one who was a perfect, sinless sacrifice for the sins of the world, laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away from God." Yes, beloved, all mankind needs a Savior. All mankind needs a deliverer. But who? Next time we'll discuss it. Till then, goodbye.